Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. The live from TPC Wisconsin for the Greater Bucky Open edition. The Pro Football Hall of Famer and beef connoisseur, Joe Thomas, scheduled to appear edition. And the I'm not here to second guess how other people do the show on those rare days that I take off. But I can guarantee you this. We're not starting today's show like yesterday started. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find in both the Apple and Android app stores. Now, I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Hunter Vaughn is our quasi-cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs we believe in better in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios because there must be free food at the Greater Bucky Open. Because live from the Greater Bucky Open at TPC Wisconsin is not only the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, but also Jesse Nelson, who they are alongside each other, even though you can't necessarily see them at the moment. Good morning, boys. How are you?
We're good. I don't even know if there is food, so that's why I'm a little confused. Why
there's usually food.
If Joe was the starter last year and he brought us those great sandwiches.
Yes. So last year, I remember I was on my Madison weight loss program, and Joe brought breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah.
There were donuts. Yeah. There were like croissants. There were all kinds of things here that I couldn't have. Last year, I think you still snuck one. I came back to avenge the loss from last year.
So he's here. I think it's because he knew that there was a blank storm back at the studio, and he put his best in charge of that with Hunter. I think that's probably more likely why he's out here because, as we've seen, we've done a ton of remotes this spring and fall, and I'd say it's 50-50 whether Jesse shows at these. And today he did, and there isn't like a smorgasbord of food out in front of us. But I think he also wants that GBO T-shirt that we always get.
Those are nice T-shirts.
That is also a nice color.
Yeah. It's a great perk. And I think we've been out here now. I think we've done this every year we've done the show. So that's a fun tradition that we'll keep it rolling with.
It is a great tradition. What did I miss yesterday? Anything good? I listened to the first 45 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
It was bold. What did I miss after that? Anything really important that we need to cover? Or can we get right to Tucker Kraft, who is either out for several weeks, not for the season, or he's fine, it was just a scare, and he's going to play on Sunday?
I think we could probably get to Tucker. We covered a lot yesterday. I thought Jesse, for the most part, I thought you did a good job yesterday.
Thanks, Tausch. Appreciate it. Jason, where were you yesterday?
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
I was at a golf course trying to break 200. No, I was not playing. So Madison and Sydney played in their first varsity golf matches. Maddie's a sophomore.
Do they just say, I know golfers, a lot of kids play golf in high school just to get out of school.
But no, that's usually, not them.
That's usually they go and miss the second half of the day. So your kids are basically missing the full day of school if it's a 9 a.m. tee time, right?
Yes, Anna was in Marinette, so they had to be at the high school at 6:45 for the bus.
Okay, and then you and Paula drove up separate.
Correct.
And you guys walked? Did you walk the course with that bad foot?
I did. I've got some great golf shoes that I never wear to actually play golf in.
Yeah.
So it was great. I found a couple of balls, the TaylorMade Speed Softs that some people lost during the course of the day. So I had some extra balls to give the girls. They played great.
How many other parents were out there?
I didn't see any.
So it's just you and Paula walking with, like, the other, like, what is there, nine girls on a team? Is
that so there were, I mean, it was a shotgun start, and it was a ton of teams. So I'm sure there were other parents walking with other foursomes, but Sid was in one foursome and Maddie was in the other, so we each walked with one of them, and then we switched every few holes so we could watch the other one, and they were back-to-back, so that worked out well.
They can't put both Wildies together just to acquiesce.
I'm not here to question coaches' decisions. I'm just here to support my kid. And it's a threesome. It's not a foursome, probably for speed of play purposes, because these are still young golfers.
Sure.
The girl who won it had a very, very good score. Sydney, finished out of 85 girls 30th, and Maddie finished in the late 40s, I think. So they did. For their first varsity matches for both of them, it was pretty awesome.
Good.
So
they've done good. That's good.
Thank you again to you guys and Ashton and Riley and everybody. It takes a village to do Wildy and Tausch, as we're finding out today. But I really appreciate you guys allowing me to do that, because it was really awesome. I have not spent – it was actually on the other side of the river in Menominee, Michigan. And you're not going to believe this. Again, I don't – this is all – anecdotal evidence, but I had not one but two people say, hey, I love the show. And then
is that UP? Is Menominee, Michigan considered UP?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm
big into
you're
UP.
The geographer.
It's the UP. Yeah.
I know we're big into UP. I know that.
And then Sydney also had a volleyball match in the evening, so she went straight from her golf tournament to her JV volleyball match.
Sure.
And I hold the door for a guy who's headed into Notre Dame Academy. And I'm just being a nice, random, older fella. And he stops in the door frame while I'm still holding. He says, I love you and Tausch, man. Tausch is the best.
Mm.
I was like, what are the odds of the one guy I held the door for being a fan of the show?
Maybe you should hold the door open more often.
Nothing about me,
though? I'm a big door holder.
Didn't say anything about Jesse. Oh, Jesse's a great producer. He's so funny.
Not a word.
Not yet. It's early, though.
He said, I listened to the show yesterday, and I can't believe he went back to the first pitch well. That's what he said. So what are your responsibilities now that I can actually see you? And you guys look amazing, by the way.
We were not on
There's a lot of things going on this morning in the studio, outside the studio.
I looked like I was on there before.
We were, and then we weren't.
And Tausch, what does your shirt say?
Honey Badger don't care.
Tough.
The greater Bucky Open.
You got the sunglasses. You look amazing.
Well, I'll be honest. I was under the impression it's supposed to storm all weekend, and we're set up outside. I was very surprised, but our great team looks like we're going to get through. It's beautiful out. So we're winding down here with chances to be outside, so I'm glad we're doing the show from outdoors.
So what exactly is your role at TPC Wisconsin? And it looks like you're in a different location than we were when we've been out there.
Yeah, we'll be right in the heat of the announcements, I can tell. And I'm sure there's going to be it's obviously for Carbone Cancer and American Family Children's Hospital. So I'm sure there'll be a really, there's always great stories as you're trying to, you have this thing sells out every year, and you're going to raise money. So we'll, I'm sure at some point, be talking over, like Jesse did with the Sports Center, a heartfelt, like, family story of success that the Children's Hospital brought their family. And we'll be discussing Tucker Kraft's knee. Mm-hmm. That's my hunch on how this
will go. Doing Willie and Tausch trivia.
So as far as what is our thing, how can we be as uncomfortable as possible during a really special family moment? That's, I think, the role that we have out here.
Well, we can't wait for that, because that is always a highlight and an awkward moment that Jesse feels.
It's become a tradition. Yeah, it's a tradition.
One of my least favorite moments of my entire professional career.
And that's really saying something, because you've had a lot of bad moments.
It's a long list, and that one's near the top.
You've had a lot of other ones. No, don't beat yourself up.
So, Jesse, I have my Hall of Fame beef hat on, which is, again, one of these flat brims that I need the dad curve. The flat brim is not for me.
Nah, you look good.
But I'm wearing it in honor of the great Joe Thomas, who has stepped away from the farm long enough to be scheduled to appear on the program today.
Book.
Did he sign a book for you?
That's not your average Joe. Joe Thomas. That's
and it's
his
authorized. I thought I would prefer the unauthorized version.
That's his book.
Okay. I can't wait to read it. I didn't know Joe had a book.
Yeah.
Beef. Well,
here's watch. Look at this.
Uh-oh.
I got one here, too.
Oh, you're the only one without a book.
What is it? Oh, you got an autographed book. I'm going to be honest. I'd rather get some Wagyu A5.
Yeah.
I don't want Kobe. I want Wagyu A5. I know Joe's story pretty well. I can read Jesse's book. I prefer A5 Wagyu.
Yeah, this is actually something that Joe signed for a guy that he competed with at the state high school track meet. It's the kind of guy Joe is. Ran into somebody who is the sister of that guy. He's a huge fan of Joe. Joe signed a book for him. I got to deliver it for him. So,
and I see Micah and Van Ness are eating his beef. I mean, he's feeding the enemy this week.
I got some of his beef sent to me as well.
You did? Just wait a second. When?
Several weeks ago.
I'm going to have some serious beef with Joe. If he sends
you got beef about his beef.
I better get me some of that good beef.
I'll tell you this, and if you listen to Jim, Matt, and Molly on ESPN Madison, you've heard Molly Brown accuse me of having the same palate as her toddlers. And Joe had said that the apple cheddar beef sticks are his favorites of his kids.
Sure.
Those are my favorites, too. I have to reorder some more. They are the best. They are the best beef stick I've ever had.
Beef sticks are great. I want the straight-up Wagyu. Like, that's the good stuff. Like, it's good. We'll discuss later.
We could take that up with him at 9:30. He is scheduled to appear again. Hall of Fame beef and some beef between two great Badgers offensive linemen coming up at 9:30. Jesse and Tausch are at the Greater Bucky Open. All right, I'm going to tease this, and then we'll talk more about it in the next segment after Tausch tells us about Pella. But Tausch, how many times during your career do you recall guys going down in practice? Because that's really not great any time that an injury happens. But we know the David Bakhtiari story from several years ago. Tucker Kraft goes down with a left knee injury. There's some concern. We're told it's not long term. It's not season ending. But anytime you say, well, it's not season ending, indicates that it's serious. At least somewhat serious. And then it's not season ending. And oh, now it's just a tweak. It was a scare. He's going to be okay. He's good. Where should I be on this as we get ready to discuss it coming up next?
I think there should be a level of concern. To answer your first question, it does happen. I think as you know, practices, we would do 2 days a week of pads. And you know, we crack some skulls as we're going about doing our business. So it wasn't as if it's all jog through. I think they've limited it now to one. And this stuff does happen. You have to practice. I mean, most of us do. And when you're doing that, you are risking. Now, it's different than what you're doing in training camp and what you do in the preseason. But there's always that risk. But I think you have to stay sharp, and you can't go a full season and not do what you're going to do in a game. Like, at some point, right, you do wind it down, and you try to just make sure you're keeping guys healthy and fresh, but there's still limited amount of times that you have to. And I don't know, this could have just as easily been just in a drill. Like, I don't know when David did his. This stuff does unfortunately happen. It's gotten less and less, but it is the risk that you take when you practice, but you do have to practice football to play football.
All right, we'll talk more about that and what it means if he's not available on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. But before we can do any of that, Tausch needs to tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, but when you see the experience and the professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We'll talk more about Tucker Kraft's knee injury scare, tweak, and what we should be worried about next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch rolls on with Jesse and Tausch at the Greater Bucky Open at TPC Wisconsin. Jesse, any former Buckies already come by, or maybe the actual Bucky come by and concussed Tausch, or has that not occurred yet?
This is the scene of the crime where Bucky's nose got in Tausch's grill when we were out here a few months back for the ESPN Madison Open. I have not seen actual Bucky in attendance yet. But we are kind of in the back.
What about Stacey Bruner?
I haven't seen him yet either. I'm sure. Oh, you know, I think he'll be rolling around here at some point coming up here.
Is Irick with him?
He's got a big day. I don't know. I don't know.
You,
I
Rick.
Seen Stacey to
know Irick. You, Rick. We all.
Greater Bucky Open. It's always fun, though.
All right, Tausch. So I did. This was one of the rare times where I felt the need to text the head football coach, because Tucker Kraft is a pretty important piece of what they do. And for him to go down during practice and there being conflicting information for a while there. And I got we got to keep him guessing. So he did not answer my question. I am curious.
Well, what was your question?
What happened to Tucker Kraft and what's the concern level?
He say, beat it, nerd.
Beat it, nerd.
What did he say? What did he say? He's like, who is this? Why are you texting me when I'm watching Blue Bloods tonight? What's going on around here? Can't you just come to a press conference?
Like, couldn't you just have one of those after practice instead of before? But we talked to Adam Stenovich afterwards. We certainly, locker room was over, so it's not like you could talk to Tucker Kraft or to any of his fellow tight ends. We'll see what Matt LaFleur says this morning. But look, and I said this to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, like this is a little bit different. Like, Tucker Kraft has crossed that Rubicon into star player status. And when you have reports like this, the fan base freaks out. I know,
yeah, they do.
I know plenty of people that were texting and tweeting me, worried that, you know, and look, it's great that you have a player of that caliber now in Tucker Kraft, that he's reached that level. So there was a subsequent report from Ian Rappaport that it was a tweak and he's all good and it was just a scare. I think Bill Huber at Sports Illustrated had that as well. I mean, look, I don't know if that means he's going to be available on Sunday or not, if he's going to play. If they say it's all good, does that mean he's good to play? I don't know, but they were doing tests after practice, and anytime something like that happens and a guy's added to the injury report, that is a concern. My question for you, Tausch, is if he's not available, you know, there has been times when we've been very excited about Luke Musgrave. There's Chipotle Ben in the mix. There's certainly John Fitzpatrick. What does this do to your offense if you don't have Tucker Kraft and you don't have Jaden Reed?
It's a huge loss, and it actually made me think, you know, we talked irreplaceable guys. Musgrave, this will be a great opportunity for him. I think if you're, you know, Luke or any of the staff, you're thinking, all right, let's see what we have. Do we expect him to be as productive as Tucker? No. But he has, I think we forget he was drafted higher. He is probably, he's been a better athlete when you just take the numbers, speed and everything else. Obviously, Tucker has taken that next step. Luke, with injuries and some of the other stuff, it set him back. This is a great opportunity for him if Tucker is unable to play. Staff-wise, I think you try and find, I don't think you're going to do all the same things that Tucker does, but you know, seam routes and let him get vertical and put more pressure on a defense. You want to get him involved in this game and give him a chance to show that he can be, you know, a really good NFL football player. Because up until now, I don't think he's got, he is not, by no fault of his own other than the injury, he hasn't really been able to prove that.
Right.
This is his chance. So you can look at it in a positive way. You're going to look at it in a negative light. And it's up to you to determine how you want to go about doing that. And I think the Packers could say, well, maybe there's a skill set that maybe Luke is better than Tucker. Let's utilize that, and then let's find different ways. We get now Chipotle Ben can come in, and he can run block and cut off the backside and maybe find some different things that these guys' skill sets fit to make the offense even, you know, more efficient. But understanding Tucker is that total package that you want back sooner rather than later. But, man, if I'm Luke Musgrave, I am chomping. Like, all right, I didn't know I'd even get another opportunity. Now it's here. I am as prepared as I possibly can be. I'm healthy. Let's go out and show why they picked me in the second round. He's a second-round pick, right?
Correct. You are correct, yes.
There you go.
So my last question on this so we can get to Joe Thomas and you can have your beef with him about his beef. And this applies to the Jaden Reed question a little bit, too. And I use the line from, you know, one of my favorite movies, Moneyball. We can recreate him in the aggregate. The challenge of both Reed, who does everything well, right? He can go downfield. He lines up in the slot. You can give him the ball as a running back. You can give it to him on jet sweeps and pop passes. Tucker Kraft, he can run block. He can pass block. He can chip and thump. He can certainly run every route in your route tree. Can you, how much more difficult does it become when you have to replace a guy who does everything well with a bunch of guys that do one aspect of what he does well? You know what I mean? Like, Luke Musgrave is not going to be your first choice to be always thumping Miles Garrett on his way out for a passing play, right? Chipotle Ben is probably more effective in that way. So how does that change your offensive game plan when you don't have that guy that does everything well?
Well, it makes it more complicated, but you can, again, look at it either in a positive light or in a negative. You can say, well, yeah, that sucks. We're missing our best aerial weapon in Tucker Kraft. Or you could say, this is going to give us a chance to get more guys involved and see what we have to build our depth and to give. I just think you have to be excited for Luke. And I think if you're Matt LaFleur, if you're Adam Stenovich, you're thinking, all right, let's see, because we think, we don't know, because we haven't seen enough of what Musgrave can do. But all of a sudden, this is, okay, if we have, you can get more guys involved. And that's always a concern, more so in the wide receiver room than the tight end room, because, as we know, receivers may be a little more difficult to manage the egos and the expectations of targets. But you can now spread this around, and if guys don't respond, it's really hard for them to complain later about how many reps they're getting. And if they do respond, you find roles for them, even if it's limited packages, So you can see maybe it is Chipotle. Ben's really good at cutting off the backside, or he's really good at thumping really good pass rushers. And all of a sudden now when you're in the playoffs or you're late in the season and a team comes to town, oh, well, boy, his skill set fits this really well. That's the way you look at it. That's why coaches get paid big bucks. It's to solve problems. And when Tucker Kraft, if he is unable to play, that is a problem. Now you have the depth. You have three other guys. Figure it out. Figure out what's going to work. That would be, I guess, my quote.
That's good advice. Not that Tito's doesn't go with everything, because it does. But I feel like you get a little Wagyu beef. You get a little Tito's with, you could muddle it, whatever you might do. Sounds like a pretty good night for you and old T there.
Oh, well, I know Joe loves Tito's. We all love Tito's. You're at a golf outing. You win it. You take last. It doesn't matter. Mix of Tito's right now. Bloody Marys. Start your day. Out on the course, get a transfusion. A little grape juice, of course, mix it with Tito's. And at the end of the day, if you want to go cranberry, you want to go lemonade, you want to go tonic, just make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka that you mix in with it. And Tito's gives back in a big way. They're out at all these charity events as well. They partner with nonprofits. They do real good out in the communities across the country, and especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Joe Thomas, Hall of Fame football player, Hall of Fame rancher, Hall of Fame guy. Jesse, did he sign your book for you, or are you going to have him sign it on the air?
He did sign the book. Yeah, look at that, right?
It just says, did he write a nice little note to you? Jesse, to the world's greatest producer.
Wait a second.
To Tausch.
Let me rephrase that. Joe did give me a book, and Jesse stole it. Just like the Jones Dairy meat from Christmas, he stole it and didn't tell me about it. Did he give you Wagyu beef, too?
He did when he was in the studio when
you
were on his sabbatical.
So he gave me a book and probably beef, and you stole all of it.
What's
going on around here?
Very, very, very frustrating.
Yes, indeed, I am.
That's amazing. He opened it.
This is for you.
To you.
I need a book.
More Wildy and Tausch with Joe Thomas scheduled to appear next. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Joining us now, the man who signed a book for Mark Tauscher.
Just got it now, 3 years later.
And Jesse didn't even read it while he had it. Otherwise, he would have known that it was signed
I knew it was autographed. I did not realize it was dedicated to Tausch.
Joe, I just want to apologize. I besmirched you as you're handing out Wagyu beef to Jason and to Jesse in autographed books. And I besmirched you, and I want to make sure I take back my besmirchment, because I actually did get a book. I just never received the book. So I want to apologize to you first before Jason introduces you.
It's Joe Thomas on Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, everybody. Hey, this is where Jesse Nelson, the world's greatest producer, gives that round of applause, that button that he presses where everybody goes, but Tausch, thank you so much. This has been really fun sitting in the waiting room and listening to all the shenanigans that's going on. I appreciate you on the take back to the besmirching. However, yeah. I would love it to be able to give you that book and the Wagyu beef in person, but you're always on vacation. Every time I come in, I'd love to see my buddy, my great friend, going all the way back to my Wisconsin days, hang out in Wando's bar, but he's always on vacation.
I learned from watching you. Every time I look at you or Annie's Instagram page, you're in South Africa, you're in Germany, you're in Switzerland, you're in Bavaria, and I'm just trying to
big in Bavaria.
A little, just big a couple Bavaria. Snippets from what you're doing.
Oh, those are work trips, Tosh. Let's be clear. Sure. I'm an Instagram influencer, I have to take these trips and post to the world to all my hundreds of followers, or I can't make ends meet over here on the Hall of Fame beef farm.
Fair enough.
Joe, we want to talk some football. We want to talk Badger football and offensive line. We want to talk about your former team, the Cleveland Browns. I had a few conversations with folks this week. It's got to be tough to be a Cleveland Browns fan. Before anything else, I am proudly wearing my Hall of Fame beef hat. Now, you and I, yes, you're welcome for my service, and thank you for the beef sticks. They were delicious. But, and I got my book right away, by the way. I need your help because you're a dad, but you and I, very similar, right? Very, lots of similarities between you and I.
Person.
I mean,
that's
we're practically twins. If it's the Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger version of twins.
Who's who?
I think we know that one. But I'm a big dad hat guy that I curve the brim because I'm an old man and I'm trying to rep the brand and the flat brim. You look like you are a flat brim guy. Do I just need to get used to it? Is it as simple as that?
It's the new wave. You know, I've got a couple hats. I've got the farmer hat, you know, with the curved brim, of course, that I usually wear when I'm out in the fields because it covers the sun a little bit better, you know, on the side of my face. I'm getting older. I got the crow's feet coming, you know. And as like I said, Instagram influencer, trying to keep the boyish good looks going. So you got to keep the sun off the side of your face. But, you know, the young kids today, they want to wear the USA Hall of Fame beef hat with the flat brim.
Got a couple fans want to say hi to
Joe. Oh, my gosh. The kids are here. Get them away. Where's security? Somebody help Tosh and Jesse.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what's going on. We're just glad it's 9:30 and not 3:30. This is 3:30 with the Tito's and everything else. We couldn't control what the heck is going on. So, Joe, this is what happens. Nobody comes over. You come on the screen, and girls are just coming over doing Lord knows what. So I apologize.
That's what happens when you're an Instagram influencer.
That's true. You're influencing these ladies to... Oh, boy.
Even though I'm this big influencer now, I can't influence the ladies in my own house. I can't get my kids to wake up and show up on time to school and get their shoes. Can't get the wife to do anything. But yet, virtually, I'm
still
having influence
done,
over the ladies at the golf outing that Wildy and Tausch are at right now.
Well, Tausch and Jess are at. So I saw this before we get into the Brown stuff. You had Wagyu up to Green Bay. I saw Lucas Van Ness has been posting your Instagram influencing a lot of Green Bay Packers, including one of the biggest acquisitions we've ever seen in Micah Parsons. Tell us a little bit about how that came together.
Well, it's pretty amazing because Wagyu beef seems to have this magnetic effect where people just are drawn to it. And so I didn't have any relationship with Lucas Van Ness, but being an Iowa guy, Midwest guy, he understands what good beef means and how it can fuel his body. And so he actually reached out to us on Instagram. So I sent him a package and I said, here, you know, first one's on us, guys. Happy to help you out, even though you don't play for my team anymore. So I gave him some steaks and he loved them. And now he's a customer. He's actually buying it. And so I was up there at Lambeau Field giving a speech to Compeer Financial. And I said, hey, I'm coming up. If you want me to help save on shipping, I can bring you a few steaks. And he goes, great. I want 150 Wagyu steaks for me and the boys. I'm going to just put it in the locker room and let it be a grab bag. I want to do something nice for the team.
And so awesome.
I said, well, hey, Ben, hang on. Is this thing on? I said, thanks, Lucas. That's amazing. I appreciate that. But unfortunately, we've sold a lot already. We don't have 150. I was like, I can find 50 in my special friends and family stash that I keep offline that we don't sell. So I brought those up there for him. And, you know, unlike Wildy, who still has yet to post anything about the freebie Hall of Fame beef that I
just
gave
wait,
to
he
him.
Didn't put a, he's an influencer. He didn't put
nothing,
anything up?
Nothing. Didn't put a single thing. And he blames that he was busy with training camp. Yet, Micah Parsons, who I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's this new player that's
on
defense.
And
Lucas Van Ness, who don't really have a lot of followers, and they're not really busy this week in the middle of the game week, found a way to be able to not only post the day that I gave him the beef, they bought the beef, but they also cooked it that day. So apparently, wow. Wildy is a higher level of influencer that I've yet to really penetrate into his market to be able to influence him. But he is wearing the hat, so I do appreciate him. So at least we're making some level of progress.
Yeah, I feel like I should cook it first. I mean, I'm happy to stand in front of my freezer holding my frozen beef, saying how great of a person Joe Thomas is. I have no problem with that, but I have not cooked it yet. No, and I'm a little nervous too. I feel pressure because what if I burn it? Like, I feel like maybe I should bring in someone who's a little bit like, not Tausch, because we know he also makes chewy smoked meats.
Yeah,
so he's not going to help me.
That's true.
Like, I just don't want to mess it up. That's all.
Well, the good news is, Wildy, you don't have to worry about it because our beef is unmess-upable because of the intramuscular fat, the marbling on this stuff. It's like three times what prime quality USDA beef is. So you really can't mess it up. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. Even yesterday, when I dropped off the beef, I tried to take like a nice little Instagram video. And so I put it on there on my story and I posted it and spent a good bit of time. But even a guy that used to play for the Cowboys, and he's new to Wisconsin, so probably new to the high quality beef that we had, he didn't mess it up. And so I think if Micah Parsons can make a Hall of Fame beefsteak perfection, I think Jason Wildy can probably double that. I believe in you, buddy.
I agree too.
And you know what? If you don't trust yourself, I have to go back up and pick up my Yeti cooler that I dropped off with Lucas at some point. So I will personally come up there with fresh steaks, and I will cook them for you, and I'll baby bird it if you really need that much assistance. And then I'll take the photos for you. I'll write the caption. I'll even put it in your Instagram if you want for you. So all you have to do is press send.
All right, I will go pick up your
now that
up
is
cooler.
Full service. That is
that's full
service.
Service. That's what we do right at Hall of Fame Beef. We don't play around.
All right, can we talk about football now?
I don't know. I actually like all talking
right,
about
I guess.
Beef.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Joe, what's the big – because I did note A4 to A5. Like, yeah. A5 is just unbelievable.
So the answer is no.
Yeah, no, we can, but I do want to know, what is the big difference? Because you think Wagyu, you think Cope. Wagyu is going to be good. But what separates A5 from A4? What's that? It's a one digit. Why is it so good?
It's only one. It's one number.
That's what I'm saying. $1.
No, so I have, as you can imagine, I've gone quite deep in the beef rabbit hole because that's just what I do with things. I become too obsessed. And so the A4 and the A5, it's on the Japanese rating scale. And it not only is it about the amount of intermuscular fat, it's about the color of the beef. It's about how the fat is spread out. It's about the thin or thickness of the veins of fat that go through. So really, like, you and I would probably have a hard time differentiating, but these Japanese guys that have been grading this their entire life, you know, it's a big difference in, you know, is that $50 an ounce if it's A5 versus like 20 if it's A4. So like it makes a big deal with that rating scale, but it's on like another level that we can't even really understand. And we probably really can't even really appreciate it, whether you buy A5 or A4.
And Joe, there's no A6 or 7, is there?
Not yet, but Hall of Fame beef is going to get up to that level. Don't worry. Tausch, when you were in Japan, did you get any of the A5 over there?
That's where we got real dialed in. And yes, yeah.
On the hot rocks. So that's actually my favorite way.
Rocks,
just like the thin strips.
You don't have to cook it for long.
It's amazing.
All right. All right, Jason, go ahead. You want to talk about
football.
Miles Garrett.
All the time. Jeez, what is this, like a sports channel or something?
Yeah, just to make sure that I'm doing my part for the beef that I have not made yet, but the beef sticks that I have devoured.
They're pretty good, though. The sticks
SixSpringsFarm.com is the website. Six, spell it out, S-I-X, SpringsFarm.com. You can sign up for alerts, which I have done. More importantly, though, you can get all the different products, including a Joe Thomas autographed knife.
Is that
ooh,
right?
It's got his signature
really nice
embossed
knife.
And it's not in the handle, though. It's in, like, the cutting area. It's amazing.
Okay.
So you can get that as well. The hat I'm wearing right here, that is also available. I think the hat that Joe is wearing is also available.
You can't buy this one. This is the original stock. I bought this on Amazon for $5 because I have a head that's like twice the size of Jesse's even. And so like the regular hats don't fit. So I just put a little like a glue-on logo here or whatever it is. It hasn't fallen off yet, but maybe someday.
Doing yourself if enough hats.
Demand. Yes. Making my own hats. Look at this guy.
Again, the website is SixSpringsFarms.com for all your beef.
Or you can go to HallOfFameBeef.com. It takes you both to the same place. If you have a hard time saying it like me and Wildy clearly, just go to HallOfFameBeef.com.
HallOfFameBeef.com. All right.
We got all right. URLs.
Speaking of Hall of Famers, Myles Garrett will someday be a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he will.
Taush and I discussed this earlier in the week. The way you lose to the Browns, given where their offense is at with 68-year-old Joe Flacco at quarterback, is you let Myles Garrett wreck your game and have a sack fumble. The way the Pack returned for a touchdown, the way the Packers' defense is playing, you feel really good about it. You cannot allow a future Hall of Famer to wreck the game. You obviously follow your former team very closely. I think their defense is better than probably Packers fans are realizing this week. How do you view this matchup?
So obviously we've seen the point spread and the Browns are not favored. Packers are rolling. Browns are doing the opposite. But if I'm a Packers fan, what are the things that I'm looking for when I'm watching this game? One, can I block Myles Garrett, right? Because that's the key. This defense, although maybe when you look at their numbers, you're thinking, well, they're good, but they're not great. No, this is a great defense. It's just the offense hasn't pissed a drop the entire season. They've had like zero drives, and so they continue to put the defense in difficult situations. But still, the defense has held up really, really well. They've got the best rushing defense in the NFL, and so they really need to actually try to go at the Browns' defense with Josh Jacobs to establish that run. Because what the Browns' defensive strategy is going to be is they want to make the Packers one-dimensional by taking away the run and then allowing Myles Garrett to rush the passer. They've got two great cornerbacks, Greg Newsome and Denzel Ward, both Pro Bowl guys on the outside, but their third position, that slot corner, that nickel corner, is really, really weak. And so teams have been going and spreading out their two number one and number two receivers to try to get Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome wide or out of the box and out of that situation where they can have any type of help defense. And then they've gone right at that nickel cornerback position. And so I think that's what Jordan Love is going to try to do. That's what the Packers are going to try to do. But if the Browns are able to get him one-dimensional by stopping the run, then nobody can block Myles Garrett. That's just a absolute fact that is not subjective. That is objective fact. He's impossible to block, even when you try to double team him. And so it's just a matter of how quickly can we get the ball to our number three guy. And so I have a ton of respect for LaFleur. He's an amazing coach. He does a great job setting up plays in series, not just thinking of plays as individual. Okay, this is a good play. That's a good play. Like the way he tries to set it up, the way he shifts in formations to be able to get advantageous matchups in the passing game, I think is going to be really important for the Packers to be able to find a way to get the ball quickly to their number three guy, whoever that nickel corner is covering. That's going to be the key to the game right there for the Packers offense.
So, Joe, how would you – you did not probably have a lot of help throughout your years of playing with chips and with everything else, but if you're devising a plan and you blocked Myles Garrett probably – I believe you said one of the reasons you retired is because you had to block Myles Garrett as much as you did during training camp because he is unblockable. What would you want as an old tackle, and what do you think is the best way to slow down great pass rushers for average offensive tackles?
Yeah, so the reason Aaron Donald was so dominant for all those years as an interior pass rusher, because it's much harder to handle an interior guy, right? Because you can always slide to him and kind of double him, but it's not like you can add a chip from an interior position. And the way he would get up the field and split those double teams, like he was almost unblockable. That's why they won the Super Bowl when he was there. But on the outside, the best way to block Myles Garrett is to get into empty, right? So no running backs in the backfield, but you take a tight end or two, sometimes depending on if you have two pass catching tight ends, you put him in that near hip position, kind of off the line of scrimmage, but right off the hip of the tackle. And then before they get out in their route, they give a hit or a chip right down the middle of that defensive end, right down the middle of Myles Garrett. So they slow him down for just a split second, mm-hmm. because then he can't get his first two steps in the ground like a sprinter would. And that little bit of slowing him down gives the offensive tackle time to get off the ball and then get his feet in balance and beat Myles to the spot that he wants to be at. And then he's still going to lose, but at least you're buying yourself
lose
a second
slower.
And a half.
Yeah.
You're slowing him down. You're giving yourself a chance to get off the line of scrimmage so that you can beat him to the spot, because Myles wins so often because he's so quick off the ball. So now an offensive tackle is trying to catch up. And right, remember, we're worse athletes than they are. And that's
for sure.
Another objective truth. Yep. And so now I'm off balance because I'm trying to catch up to a guy who's already ahead of me. He's running forward. I'm running backwards. And now, because I'm off balance, he can do whatever he wants to me. He can put his foot in the ground and beat me to the inside. He can keep rushing up the field, which that's his best move, is that dip and rip where he turns the corner and he almost takes like a 90-degree angle once he gets about 7 yards up the field and turns towards the quarterback. And so just to be able to prevent that is really important. But the reason you have to have two guys in is because Myles is just as good at rushing the passer over the left tackle as he is over the right tackle. And a lot of times on third down, if they like the matchup over the right tackle, or they feel like teams are just trying to jury-rig the protection to put an extra guy only on the left side, they'll just flip him over, or he'll just do it himself. He has that freedom in our defense to be able to just say, hey, over there on the other defensive end position, you go over there and rush the left tackle. I'm rushing the right tackle in this position in this series on third down because I want to be able to get after the quarterback. So it's really important to be able to still have three receivers in the route that are available to go down the field with Jordan Love wanting to probably throw the ball a little bit down the field, especially towards the middle, and still having those two tight ends or a tight end or another player that can go on both sides of their tackles.
So, Joe, you blocked Freeney. Yeah, you obviously Myles Garrett. Who of
DeMarcus
the group,
Ware, you, Terrell Suggs, James Harrison,
players.
All those guys.
Yeah, Suggs. What is it about? Is it just because he's such a freak athletically? Like, what is it that makes the Myles Garrett? Because there are plenty of players where you have to focus. Julius Peppers, Myles Garrett just seems even different or on a higher level than that.
Yeah. So when I talk to people, I'll give them the 30-second like, why is Myles Garrett so good? It's because he's 280 pounds. He runs a 4.55, which is great. There's guys that do that in the world, but not many. He's extremely powerful. Like, I had the record in our weight room for the static pull, which is, if you could imagine, like a hang clean position if you're in the weight room, and it's a bar that's connected to the bottom of the power rack. So you can't move it, but it's got a sensor to see like how many pounds you can pull. And my record was like 1,000 pounds or something, like 1,050. And Myles was the only guy that I played with in my entire career that was close to that number. And I'm sure now he's blown that away because he was a rookie. He was like 20 years old at the time when he did that. So he's extremely powerful. But really what makes him unique is his ability to run at full speed, that 4.55 speed, and turn the corner. If you've ever seen training camp, which I'm sure all you guys have, the defensive linemen love to put these big like hula hoops out and then they run in a circle, right? And it's mm-hmm. training them to be able to run on a curve at high speed. And Myles has these really flexible ankles. I'm like a nerd about ankle flexibility, right? Because being able to get your heels in the ground allows you to create the most force through contact. He's able to put his full foot in the ground, so his heel is in the ground. His shin angle, so his shin is like almost touching the ground. Shin angle, almost touching the ground when he's turning that corner. And so it allows him to run full speed, but also be very, very low. If you imagine like a limbo bar at like 3 feet high, he can run 4.5 and do a 90-degree turn. And he's getting under that 3-foot bar because he's so low. And then the power that he has. So as an offensive tackle, now you're trying to move as fast as you can, trying to block a guy that's like 3 feet off the ground. And by the way, as soon as he gets into your pads, now he's lower than you and he can lift you up and throw you into the quarterback, even if you're ahead of him. If you're not ahead of him, he can just dip that shoulder even further. And then now he's gone underneath you and then he's coming back downhill onto the quarterback. So he is the impossible player to block out there as a defensive end because of shin angle, speed,
shin angle,
power, and his ability to turn that corner by keeping his feet in the ground with his great ankle mobility. So watch for that on Sunday. It'll be fun if you're just a football biomechanics nerd.
other than that, yeah, good luck if yeah, you're good. Trying to block him.
Good
so
luck.
How would you compare him to Micah? Because Micah, obviously, everybody here is super excited because he has brought that star element to the defensive side of the ball, and he's made the rest of the defense better. He is a freak as well. But what do you see when you're watching Micah? How's his shenangle and all of the things that you're looking at?
Well, if you're looking at somebody who's probably the most similar to Myles Garrett in
That's
the NFL today, it's Micah Parsons, right? He's a guy that can play on both sides. He can play off the ball. He can play on the ball. He can put his hand in the dirt. He can play inside. And so he has that versatility that Miles has as well. And he does bend really, really well. I think if you look at maybe how do you differentiate the two guys, I think Micah's probably not as powerful as Myles Garrett is. And that's not saying he's not powerful, but Miles is in a class by himself. Micah typically is playing out of a two-point stance a lot, and I think his shiftiness and his shake is probably similar to where Miles is. And so he can put his foot in the ground, like his outside foot in the ground as he's rushing and as a tackle. I'm thinking he's going up the field. But the way he puts that foot in the ground, he can redirect so quickly, and then he uses his hands, and I think it's that relentless motor that gets him a lot of sacks as well, and his ability to use those long arms that he has to extend and wrap up quarterbacks when he's getting close, which is a lot of guys' problem. Like, I watched Trey Hendrickson, and I think he was the NFL sack leader last year. He's a great player, but he misses so many sacks because he's right there, but he's not able to just finish that sack by reaching that arm out and bending and dipping and securing the quarterback and bringing him all the way to the ground. Whereas a guy like Micah, like, he gets close to that quarterback and he brings him down like every single time. It's really fun to watch those guys, and it's even more fun when I don't have to block them.
It does make things a lot easier when you don't. Joe, last one for me. I know you got to get out and ranch and get that Wagyu and do all that great stuff.
That's right.
Badger football, give us just your quick synopsis of what you've seen so far and what we need. This is a huge, I think we all agree, it's a big boy weekend for Luke Fickell and his staff going against Maryland at home Saturday morning.
Yeah, obviously, so far the offense has not returned to the ground and pound where they can just run the ball at will, like was the signature for Wisconsin teams going back to even before Tausch was there. And I think that's what they really need to do to be able to get something sparked on offense. With losing their quarterback early in the season, it is not going to be a team on offense for the Badgers where they can just throw the ball and catch back up into games. They need to really focus on that run game. They need to dominate and use their size up front. I think looking at the season, everybody kind of expected them to be 2-1 right now. I think when you watch the games, they didn't look as good as we'd hoped as Badger fans because the offense is not really doing anything. Defense is playing fairly well. I think the defense is stepping in the right direction. They're playing physical. I think they're starting to understand the type of football that Luke Fickell wants them to play. But on the offensive side, really, it's got to be that run game that gets going. And this is such an important game to prove not only to themselves but to Badger fans that we still should believe in this team, that they're really building themselves and growing into this new offense that they're trying to run. And that a beginning, when you switch offensive coordinators, it does become a little bit tough to get things going because offensive football has so many more things that are involved and so much more coordination that has to happen between the offensive line and how they're blocking and their aiming points and the running backs' aiming points. And so we expect them to get better, but they have to prove it this weekend against a team that you feel like you should win. And so I think this is a really, really important game because you go 2-2 and you're already losing a game that you feel like you should win and looking not so great in the three games that you played before this. And there's going to be even more questions than there already is. So this one is a huge game, even in my opinion, way bigger than Alabama, because I don't think there was a lot of people that were realistic that thought, yeah, we're going to go down to Alabama and beat them, right? But we wanted to look better than we did. But this week, it's you're on the chopping block. Let's go. It's time right now to prove it to us as fans and prove it to yourself that this is headed in the right direction and we can smash mouth football up front and dominate with our offensive line and our run game.
So, Joe, because we're so young and depending on what happens with Renfro at center, there could be three redshirt freshmen. How do you go about wanting to do what you're saying? And obviously Grimes has come in and I think has done a really good job of kind of reshaping what the offense can look like, but staying patient in an era where you can't be patient. because you know, you look at me or even you as a freshman, you grew and got a lot better, and all the guys that you played with that were young, you have to allow for that. But this college football landscape doesn't really allow. How do you kind of rectify that?
It's the situation we're in. You know, it's great to say, like, oh, it'd be nice to have guys that sit around and practice and develop for 3-4 years and then go in and play and they're ready to go. But that's not the reality of college football anymore. And so it's a matter of going in there and badger offensive linemen from – you know, going back to when Joe Panos was here and they won the Rose Bowl, like, you build that toughness in training camp, you build the technique, and you simplify the offense for these guys. And so you're having concepts that are easy for them to understand and allow them to just play big and physical and tough and smash mouth football. And you don't ask them to do a whole lot of things. Like, it's the same concepts with maybe more window dressing on offense, different shifts, different formations, but getting to a lot of the same concepts where you're pulling your guard, you're running some of those power plays, those inside zones, you're trying to get to a few outside zones, and you're just trying to be patient and impose your will on the defense, which sometimes it's not the most fun thing for an offensive lineman to just go in there and smash skulls for 60 plays a game, but that's our style, and that's what we've been successful in the past, and that's what we really need to focus on. And it's okay to be patient and trying to frustrate the defense and wear them down and then try to win the game in the fourth quarter, because you've got to just look yourself in the mirror and understand who you are and what your identity is going to be, and then you have to lean into it. And you know what? I don't care who's in there. The standard doesn't change, whether you're a freshman, a sophomore, or a junior. If you're wearing a W on your helmet, we're expecting these things from you. And so pushing those guys in the week of practice like they did during training camp and saying, hey, I don't really care how much experience you've had. This is our standard, and this is what we expect of you. I mean, Hubes was doing that to us when we were there. I mean, I played as a freshman. I know, Tausch, you didn't play till the end of your career, but Hubes didn't care. He was going to coach everybody the exact same way, and he was going to dictate and demand the same things out of everybody.
All right, Joe. So, and we're talking with Joe Thomas. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but what he really is a Hall of Fame beef rancher. Again, it's halloffamebeef.com. I just followed the Twitter account, so I'm on top of that now. And you can order straight from the website. Again, I can't recommend enough the beef sticks. I'm sure I'll be able to recommend the steaks once Joe comes and feeds them to me like a little birdie after he cooks them on my grill for me. The Book speakers it. Have started at the Greater Bucky Open, so we're going to let Tausch and Jesse sit there for a few minutes so Jesse doesn't get put in that awkward position of giving scores and highlights while people are talking about heartfelt things, especially when you're talking about some of the stuff that's going to be discussed today. So, Joe, I just had a couple of quick ones to let you go. One, you and Tausch were just talking about, you know, Badger football. And to me, and I know you've been involved heavily with the Badger Collective and everything, that varsity and everything else, the one thing that I would say, more so than it being running back you or tight end you, is that it's always been offensive line you, right? Whether it was guys that were like Tausch, who played at the end of his career and became an 11-year NFL veteran, or a guy like you who came in as a stud recruit and left as a third overall pick. How do you make sure that when you're building a program in today's era, that you are always getting that, hey, we grow great beef in the Driftless region, and we grow great offensive linemen in Wisconsin. Does that have to be a priority to make sure that that position is always well stocked like your Yeti cooler?
Absolutely, because the tradition at Wisconsin, if you ask anybody around the country, it's offensive linemen, even before running backs, because we've had some great running backs here, obviously. But really, it was set up because the table was set by the great offensive lines that they had in front. And, you know, being around the offensive coaches a little bit like I've been, they've got a couple great ones as offensive line coaches. Casey Robach, a guy that Tauscher knows very well. I think he's a tremendous coach. Obviously, he's got great experience in the NFL as a player and had a great career at Wisconsin. A.J. Blazek, another great player who played in the Big Ten and is a fantastic coach. And it does take time unfortunately, to develop offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. But getting the right guys in there with the right mindset is so important. And to me, that was always what the difference was at Wisconsin, because we recruited guys that were probably similar talent-wise, or maybe even a little notch down from some of the top schools in the country. But identifying those traits that are not talent-related were so important, I think, for bringing in guys to Wisconsin and then coaching them really hard, working them really hard in the weight room, getting the right weight on them, making sure that they're physically able to be strong and to be dominant in the fourth quarter. I think it was so important because they wanted guys that bought into the culture, that were willing to work, and they're willing to do the things that the other guys were not willing to do. And they were doing it with a team first approach. And I believe that the guys that we've got there as coaches in the offensive line room are the right guys for that job. And I think now seeing that an offense that is being run is similar, to be able to lean into that Wisconsin culture of offensive linemen with the tough, physical, hardworking, team first guys, I think that it's definitely headed in the right direction. But I think all of us in Badger Nation now want to be able to see that on Saturdays. They want to see that the progress is being made and that you can have a game that you can hang your hat on and say, look, boom, right there. That's it. That's the Wisconsin mm-hmm. offensive line that I'm used to seeing. They've got the right players in there. They've identified the guys that have the ability and the willingness to go in for 60 minutes on a Saturday and run power 40 times if you have to run right at the other team and be more physical, more dominant, and win that war of attrition up front. And being around some of those offensive linemen, there's some young guys, but I think they have that mindset of the offensive lines of the past for Badger football that became so great. Because offensive line play is not about the talent, really. A lot of times it's about your technique and your effort and your toughness and your willingness, like I said before, to do the little things that the other guy is not willing to do because it's too hard or too uncomfortable.
All right, last thing so we can get you back to the cows and everything else you've got going on. I like to think of myself as a very nice person who occasionally can zing people, whether it's Brian Bulaga with Bruce Irvin or Iowa's frequent inability to score points, or it's you with your incredible decorated career. And you know I love you, but you never went to the playoffs. And I'm just wondering if, as yeah, I know that's, and I do that to you all the time because I'm a jerk. I get it, but I have a purpose this time for once. By the way, we got a question. Is your Hall of Fame bust in the background? Do you have like a, do you have like a replica or?
That is it's a replica, but it's a nice replica. I'm not sure if you guys can see that. He's got nice sunglasses on, of course. And he's got the dog bone chain. Yeah, that's right. So it's not the original. Obviously, that one's in Canton. But they give you a really nice plastic replica that looks just like it. And so awesome. I got Joe Cool behind me. But what I was pointing to was my glass case that's empty, and it's my NFL playoff participation trophy that is coming maybe someday. Didn't make that, but you're right. Sorry, cut you off.
Yes, and no, that was great, and we really wanted to see we really wanted to see your bust, and we got to see it. So, my question is, you know, being back in Wisconsin and having gone through what you did with the Browns, and now the Packers playing the Browns this week, I guess you are uniquely qualified to just remind Packers fans once in a while how good they have it, right? Like, I can't imagine what it's like to be a Browns fan. I mean, now Baker Mayfield's down in Tampa slinging it like nobody's business. You guys, they have had, they've tried everything at quarterback. Now they've got two preschoolers and a guy that is 50 years old playing the position. They had, what, 8 quarterbacks during the course of training camp? Like, do you hold out hope that your franchise will someday get it right? And B, do they provide a cautionary tale to, hey, don't take for granted winning, because not everybody gets to do what the Packers do?
I think the great thing about sports in America and the passion that we have for football is there's this feeling inside of all of us as fans that we're never satisfied. No matter where you are as a fan base, you always want more. And I couldn't agree with you more that Packers fans are very spoiled because they have had a lot of greatness and a lot of greatness at one position that's kind of important in football, and that's quarterback, going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and now Jordan Love. And I think, yes, as fans, we always want more. We want Super Bowls. We feel like we deserve more. Like, I wasn't a Packer fan when Aaron Rodgers was there, but you felt like they should have won more Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You had the greatest quarterback in the game, maybe one of the most talented of all times, and you won one Super Bowl. And so you feel like there was more there. There was more meat left on the Hall of Fame beef rib bone.
Oh, but, what a pro. What a pro.
There you go. That's a good plug right there. True pro. Big P pro. But I think maybe not on Sundays you want to appreciate how great you've had it, but at some point during the week you want to maybe take a step back and say, hey, at least we're not the Cleveland Browns because they haven't even played in a Super Bowl. They wish they had a Jordan Love anytime in the last 30 years, even though I know there's some Packer fans that are still wondering, hey, is this guy going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers? You know, we're excited about where he is and stuff, but it's fun having those conversations about how deep the Packers are going to go in the playoffs mm-hmm. versus saying, hey, maybe we can get a good quarterback in the draft next year because we're already out of the playoffs and it's November.
Joe, we love it when you make time for us. It is absolutely a blessing, and we had a great time talking beef and football. Let me know if you want me to pick up your Yeti cooler. I'll be at Lambeau later today so I can grab it for you. But thanks so much for your time, and we wish you the best, buddy. Thank you.
Guys, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. You always brighten my day by reminding me how bad the Browns have been forever, including my 1-31 last 2 years there and no playoff appearances. But it's truly a joy. Thank you guys so much for having
Thanks
me on.
Thanks for the autograph book.
Proud to be here, guys. And you're welcome, Tausch, for that autograph book that you gave to Jesse.
Yeah, I gave.
He is the great Joe Thomas. Jesse, have we finished our emotional portion of the Greater Bucky Open?
We did. The carts are leaving. They are ready to get out there and go play. So we are good to go the rest of the way here.
We will talk a little bit about what we heard from Joe, and we will finish off the 9 o'clock hour, even though it's 10:14. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. I'm a hazard to myself. Don't let me get mean. I'm my own worst enemy. It's bad when you ignore yourself. So irritating. Don't want to be my friend no more. I want to be somebody else. Yeah. Don't let me get mean.
Tausch, so we can get to the 10 o'clock hour. Tell us a little bit about what Hard Rock Casino Rockford has going on.
Well, we all know the great things about Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Features over 175,000 square feet of gaming. They have entertainment space. They got live table games. They got the sports book that I think Jesse and I have absolutely
cleaning up.
Winning.
I think we're going to be in a really great spot with all the things, 9.5 and all that stuff. They got the great entertainment space, and now your seat at the table just got better at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Rockford's high limit room where the odds are in your favor with enhanced game rules, including blackjack, where the dealer stands on a soft 17. You're going to enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high limit action that will set Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart from your other places. So head on down again, about an hour from the greater Madison area, to Rockford, Illinois, for the Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Got a lot to get to on a leading into Sunday's game at Cleveland edition of Wilde and Tausch, so we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.